Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, everybody. Yep, it's Wednesday, and I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for October 3rd, 2012, episode 501, brought to you by Back on Track Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Big Wednesday, the day you face your own biggest challenge, the day you risk it all, the day you either distinguish yourself or fade into the crowd.
Hang on, we're hitching a ride.
Daddy, I want another pony.
I put 40 hours in this weekend, man, it's only Wednesday. I've been cutting this damn heat all day long, there's got to be another way. So I pick up my guitar and I ride a song. Everybody hears and they sing along. Hey, hey.
Oh my gosh, you guys, I am so unbelievably excited because something is happening tonight and I'm going to sit in front of my television and just watch it and take notes. I can't wait. It's the first presidential debate tonight.
Okay, I really wasn't expecting you to say that.
Yeah, because I'm not going to do any of those things.
You know, I never
watched it. Oh my gosh.
I never watch them because, one, it's boring, and two, you've already made up your mind before the debates even come. But I might watch them this year just for the entertainment value, or one of them. I might not watch it the whole way through because it's past my bedtime, but, you know, I might try.
I'm just so ready for this election to be over with because it's just constant stuff. I mean, at this point, of course, I do care who wins, but I almost don't care who wins. Just get it over with. Let's vote now, and let's just go ahead, skip all the debates, because you know what happens when the debate's on, or the president's on, it's like it goes on every channel, and everybody has to watch everything, and it's exhausting, and I'm sorry, but I have other things to watch, like The Voice, and like The Office, final season, and I have Parks and Rec to watch. I mean, my God, I'm so busy with television, I don't have time for that crap.
It's all in the priorities, isn't it, Jamie? Well, we found out, we got an email yesterday, and in Florida, there's 12 ballot initiatives, which means state constitutional amendment questions that are long, and they said the ballot's going to be 4 pages front and back. It's like,
oh, my gosh.
I know, and I said, okay, think about who lives in Florida. These are typically senior citizens, and, you know, they're not real fast to begin with. And now we're going to have to wait in line and then have everybody take forever to fill these out. So in Florida, they allow you to mail in your ballot. You can order it ahead of time. I did that yesterday. It's like, I'm not standing in that line on election day.
No, you have moved yourself into the most exciting place to go vote if you're standing like in a high school gymnasium. You, along with about 250, maybe people that are no less than 90-plus years old living in Florida. So very exciting for you. Congratulations.
Well,
good job.
You know what they said? We were talking to a poll worker, one of the volunteers, and she said the biggest problem we have down here is the seniors forgetting their glasses and they can't see it. So they have to actually go in and read it to them.
Well, you know what's really exciting is you're on the East Coast of the retirement community, and I'm on the West Coast side of retirement community, and all the retirees in Phoenix, Arizona live in the West Valley, which is where I live. So fantastic. I just noticed yesterday that it took me, there's like a 20-minute drive to get to one of the feed stores I go to, and it took me about 45 minutes to get home simply because they're here. Oh, yes.
They've moved in already?
For the winter, usually about October 1st, they show up, and you don't go anywhere until spring hits, and then they go back up north. Bless their little hearts. It's like if you are driving down the road and you cannot see the person's head that is driving in front of you, just be patient. Try to go a different direction.
You know what is nice, though, when you live in one of the areas like we do? If you want to go out to dinner, as long as you go after 6 o'clock, they've all left. Because they eat at 4:30 or 5, and by 6, 6:30, you can get into restaurants again.
That's a great point. That's a great point. There's no long lines for you. It's just the time of year here in Phoenix where, you know, like I went to Trader Joe's yesterday. It's one of my favorite grocery stores. We'll talk about why I was shopping for one at Trader Joe's. But when you go to Trader Joe's, there's two of them in the West Valley. There's one like by the mall that's like happening. There's a lot of traffic. It's kind of a cool place to go. And then there's the Trader Joe's by what we call Sun City. And I went to Trader Joe's, and by far yesterday, I was younger than any person working there or shopping there by about 60 years. Amazing.
Do they still ask you at checkout? Would you like help bringing – the 80-year-old asks you at checkout, would you like help bringing your groceries to the car? And every time I look at him and I go, no, thank you, it's fine. Just
no, but I will be 35 years old, Glenn, in like 2 weeks. And I got carded yesterday buying a bottle of wine because this guy was like 90 that was checking me out. I was like, dude, come on. Do I look 20 years old? You are a sweetheart for thinking I do, but you need your glasses, honey. Now, I love old people, and so what happens is I go out there, and it's still really hot here, and it was like 103 yesterday, and I'm taking my groceries to the car, and I notice, you know, of course, like there's like 40 ancient people trying to load their bags, and I'm like, I'll take your cart for you. I'll take your cart. Here, let me help you. And so I spend 20 minutes sweating in the parking lot because I'm trying to help all the people get their carts back into the store. So they're here, but you got to just smile and just hope that somebody's nice to you when you're that old, right?
Yeah, and you know, we have the thing here in Florida, too. I don't know if you have this, but a lot of the grocery stores are right beside the retirement communities. And the big thing at the retirement communities here in Florida is the really souped up, decked out, totally modified golf carts. And you'll see them all lined up at the grocery store. They drive them over from the retirement community in the golf cart to get their groceries. And they're all decked out, and they all look like, you know, fancy cars and stuff like that. And actually, one of the retirement communities here in Ocala, when you buy your retirement house, they give you a golf cart. It's part of the deal. So,
wow. Is it because the person that was in the house before you had a golf cart and they died?
Yeah,
so they just left it?
Probably
true. Aww.
Yeah, they don't say it's a new golf cart.
No.
That's true.
There's been four previous owners. Jeez. All right, Jennifer, what is coming up on today's show?
On today's Back on Track Wednesday edition, Jamie is here to steer us back on track this morning with her usual unusual recounting of life in the desert state. And Victoria Spicer, Horse and Country's Velvet Voice, returns with a vivacious catalog of horse headlines from across the pond. And on Wednesday, of course, thehorse.com lets loose a lengthy list of facts about bone fragility syndrome. Should be interesting because I've never heard of that. And don't forget to thank your local HVAC repair person, because today is National Technician Day.
It's also National Walk to School Day. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
So if you're still about to go to school, get your butt out and walk. Apparently it's that day.
Are you... you're learning all these things still in preparation for what we talked to Jackie about last week?
No, actually, just because my dad, posted on Facebook that it's National Walk to School Day, and he took pictures of kids walking by his house. Now, I would like to say that was my dad, but I know it was his girlfriend. Because my dad's not going to post anything on Facebook, let's be real.
All right, a bunch of Daily Winnies. My first Daily Winnie is this again. Happy birthday to horse trainer Shauna Koresh, who is a regular guest here on Horses in the Morning. It's her birthday today, so happy birthday, Shauna.
Happy birthday,
Wrong one.
You did that already. Okay, so this daily winning kind of goes out to my husband, but it also goes out to our dear friend Glenn, and I'll tell you why. So my husband actually flew on Monday morning. The reason I wasn't here is he flew an F-16 up to Alaska, where they're going to have what they call Red Flag Alaska and what I call a big super battle in the sky over Alaska with like 100 jets. People come from all over the country and all over the world to fight each other in these mock battles over Alaska. So I go and I videotape my husband taking off, you know, blasting off from Luke Air Force Base, and he takes off. And, you know, I get a couple likes on it, and then Glenn the Geek posts, "Oh, my God. How cool is that? You have the coolest husband." So, Glenn, I don't think anybody appreciates what Chad does as much as you do, my friend.
You don't know how many years I spent playing the F-16 fighter video game constantly, 12 hours a day. So I appreciate how hard his job is.
I can attest to that fact. It was approximately 3 years that I didn't see Glenn at all. I thought he was in Australia on some kind of a special spy assignment, when in fact he was in his office playing with that F-16 game.
I have three brothers, Jamie, and we used to get together every Thursday night and play. One of the things that we did was the fighter planes. So, yes, I do appreciate his job very much.
Okay, so, Glenn, were you that guy that had, like, the headset and the chair that has the built-in little, cockpit stuff, and you would go and fight online with other people because you're kind of the geek?
Yes, but I did not have the chair. My nephew did, however. He had that super duper chair with everything built in and the speakers and the headset and everything. I did play in it, and it was really cool. Jennifer would never allow me to buy it. So I had the restriction of a wife where he didn't have that restriction, my nephew. So he got all the cool stuff.
Yeah, once he gets married, that's all thrown away. Don't you worry.
Yep.
It'll catch up.
All right, I have one more daily winning. Oh, wait a minute. We didn't say that we're going to post a video. You took a video of him. We didn't say that.
I did. Commented on the video. Pay attention.
But we're posting it on Horses in the Morning, so you can find it on our Facebook page there. It is really cool. Hey, Daily Winnie, my next Daily Winnie is for all the people. We actually worked and volunteered at this last year. We can't this year because we're a little further away, but I wanted to remind everybody that's in the Kentucky area that there's something really cool going on at the Kentucky Horse Park this weekend. It's the 2012 Kentucky Classic CBE, which is a driving event going on this weekend. And it's not just any driving event. This is one of the big ones of the year, and it's run, of course, on the 2010 World Equestrian Games site at the Kentucky Horse Park, and they use those obstacles that were built for the World Equestrian Games. It's like the best obstacles for driving in the country are there. And it is actually four championships in one. It's the USEF National Championships for singles, for pairs, and for four-in-hand ponies. And can you still hear me, Jamie?
Yeah, I got
okay,
you. I'm listening.
I think you lost Jennifer, that's all. And then also it's the USEF National Championships for Pair Horses. So that's going on. There'll be 2 days of dressage, tomorrow and Friday. And then what you really need to go out for is marathon. Marathon is just like cross-country and ridden eventing, is one of the most fun days ever. You're going to see these carriages do some wild things through those obstacles at tremendous speed. So it is fun to watch, something to see. If you've never seen one, head out to the Kentucky Horse Park this weekend.
Oh, that's really cool. Actually, we went cross-country schooling this past weekend at a place down in Sonoyta, Arizona, where I'm competing in a couple weeks, and everybody was so confused. What are those jumps called? Why are those jumps out there? How do you get through that? I looked over, it's all the driving stuff, and of course they're like, well, I said, I think that's for the competitive driving that they do. And they said, well, how do you do it? I don't know. Call Glenn. I have no clue.
I gotta
how
tell
to
you
through that.
I got to tell you, I had one of the grooms during the World Equestrian Games took me around. Rochelle, she's been on the show here, and she's grooms for four-in-hand drivers. And she took me around and tried to explain to me all the different gates that they have in these obstacles. There'll be five to seven different gates that they have to go through in these obstacles. And then there's like 20 obstacles. How they remember it, I don't know. I have no idea. It's just confusing as heck.
So when you see those giant, it's almost like fence posts that are set up to like a maze, and they actually have to weave in and out of there. Do they get marks for like hitting them?
They'll actually put only on certain ones. They'll put like tennis balls or things that'll fall off very easily. So if you hit it and it falls off, then they do take points off. But for the most part, the ones that don't have that, you can crash into them all you want, and they do. They do.
Really?
Yeah. It's amazing to watch. It really is. So head on out and watch it if you're even close this weekend to the Kentucky Horse Park.
The other thing I wanted to comment on, Glenn, was the fact that you posted that weird guy with all the puppets is coming to, I guess, television. He's going to have another show that, what's his name? Jeff Dunham?
Have you ever watched Jeff Dunham?
Yes, it's god-awful. I can't believe you watch it.
Let's clarify here that Jamie is in the minority again, because Jeff Dunham is the highest paid comedian in the world. He made almost $40 million last year.
Well, he's robbing people is what he's doing. So I wanted to comment that Yudi Shepherd, our listener, actually commented underneath the Jeff Dunham thing, "Who is Jeff Dunham?" And I just wanted to give her a little whoop whoop. I'm with you, girl. I'm with you.
I have no taste whatsoever at all. Don't like
it's
the thing.
Just
don't
awful.
Like Dunham.
I know. I actually commented on there. I said, "Do you watch that back to back with your nerd show? If so, I'm never coming over."
That would be the perfect night. That would be wonderful.
Oh God. Are you kidding me? The Big Bang Theory, and then
the most hilarious comedian I've ever seen, ever.
He has his hand up the butt of a puppet, and he talks.
And they are the funniest puppets ever. Just,
you know, it's not the puppet saying the things, okay? Just
You don't know. Could be.
Oh, God. You're ridiculous. Hey, you know what else is ridiculous? It's your strange fear of donkeys. Explain to everybody why you are afraid of donkeys.
I even forgot now how I got afraid of donkeys.
Because one killed a guy, apparently, allegedly.
A couple months ago, that donkey killed the guy. And you know, I just determined that they are the zombies have now possessed donkeys. And that's what it is. It's the donkey zombie takeover of the world. There's going to be a movie about that shortly. You watch.
Well, I would like to introduce you to Emma. Jennifer, maybe you can post the picture on our Facebook page. I know you're busy with... from our show notes here that I'm staring at, because Emma the donkey is this tiny, cute little miniature donkey. And, oh, my God, she's like the cutest thing ever. And she kind of looks like a mini donkey baby. You can't tell with all the fuzz. But she was born with a deformed leg and was not going to be able to survive. And so they actually amputated the leg, and she has a prosthetic leg. And it goes to show you the science of what's going on right now, because this mini donkey foal is now running around and playing with her mother. And you got to think, like, since they started this whole thing, they've had dolphins. They did a movie about the dolphin, dogs, penguins, even turtles have received artificial limbs. And this was done at Auburn University's College of Veterinary Medicine in Alabama. And it is just fantastic. It just makes me so happy. And it's the same people made this donkey leg that made the one for the dolphin in the movie Dolphin Tale.
Oh, you know, Dr. Wendy Ying, co-host of The Driving Show, just met that dolphin last week or the week before down in Tampa.
No kidding.
Yep, she got to go meet him. She was taking a class there, and they all got to say hi and give a pat on the nose. So,
well, I just thought that was a really nice story. We'll post a picture of it on our Facebook page. Facebook, just search for Horses in the Morning.
Well, you know, it is kind of cute. This little baby donkey has not been possessed by zombies yet, so he's actually cute. He's got the big ears and everything. The zombie thing will come later.
Okay, whatever. You're ridiculous.
Yep. Now, really bad ads this week. We have a good prize, don't we?
Yes, we do. This is actually an awesome prize. So you need to get on Craigslist or Dream Horse or whatever you go to go look at horse ads and post them, send them to Jennifer at Horse Radio Network, because you're going to get a flexion fork, the most awesome manure fork around, is the flexion fork. So you're going to get one for free. It's a really high dollar prize because they're expensive, but they're totally worth it, and you'll get one for free. So send them to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. I must admit, Glenn, that I am going to look at something I found on Craigslist today, but it's not an animal, so you'll be okay. My
all
husband
right.
will be okay.
because he's away now, and I'm a little concerned about the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, the problem is usually what happens when he leaves is he comes home and there's another animal here.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about. Yeah,
I'm just putting in the search engine English saddle, okay, because I need a lesson saddle. So I'm just putting that in. I'm not looking at any animals. That is y'all's job. So go search whatever and send us a really bad ad. They're everywhere.
How would you ever pay $70,000 for a horse sculpture?
I think I would probably pay that to have in my living room the one of Zenyatta that they just put at Santa Anita.
Yeah, which is really cool, by the way. I really like how they did that. We talked about that on Monday. But the way she's prancing in that statue is just really cool. It's really neat. But today there was pictures posted of a modern-day Trojan horse. And talk about combining equestrianism with geekiness. This sculpture does that. And by the way, it is valued at $70,000. And this is some guy over in Europe took this form of a horse, and he covered it completely with computer keys. He took little keys off of computers, and he took keyboards of all different colors, so it actually gives the horse some contour and color, and he stuck these computer keys all over this horse. And it's a big horse. I mean, this is like a 7-foot thing. So it's a big horse full of computer keys. And apparently the real funny part of this story is he apparently had made one of these before and was going to sell it, but he had it in the garage of the place he rented, and he didn't pay the rent for a while. So the landlord got really pissed, came in with a chainsaw and cut the thing, like chopped it all up.
No well, kidding.
The guy took him to court and won the case, less the rent he was overdue. The judge ordered him to pay $70,000 for this keyboard horse sculpture that he did. And the guy ended up having to pay it. The landlord, as I said, less the rent. But,
oh,
so he had to
my
make
gosh.
Another one.
Can you imagine as a landlord, somebody's not paying your rent, and so you are lucky enough. I mean, how satisfying is that to, like, take a chainsaw to this person's belongings? Now, that's got to be satisfying. Now, the unsatisfying part is writing a $70,000 check, and who values a keyboard horse? I mean, it's cool, but $70,000, really?
There must be 10,000 keys that he put on this horse. He must have chopped up a lot of keyboards is all I can say. There's a guy who needs a job. No wonder he couldn't pay his rent.
Now, he says that the point I'm reading the story right now is what he's saying with the Trojan horse key thing is that, you know, it's a connection between the Trojan war horse that was put in the walls, and then also it's the type of malicious software that modern day hackers use, downloading computer viruses. Okay, I don't get the connection. Whatever. You're ridiculous.
Yeah, well, you know, most of the time, you know, when we watch shows that talk about artists and they start to explain their work that just looks like a blob on the wall, we just tune out because I don't get it. You're like us, because I just don't get it.
Yeah, I'm not, like, big in the art world. I remember going to the museum in Cleveland when I lived there, and in the corner was the modern art part of it, and in the corner was all these pieces of candy, like little hard candies, and they were in the corner piled up about 5 feet tall, and it was just a bunch of hard candies kind of made into a pile in the corner. And that was the art. That's it.
Did you want to go over and lick it?
I wanted to grab one and snag one, but apparently they've been there a while. But I, first of all, that's the stupidest piece of art ever. And the second thing, how can you dust that? Like, if you have that sitting in your house, first of all, you're going to get, you know, roaches and all sorts of stuff. Anyway, that was weird. And this is kind of like when they start talking about their art, you're right. It just gets even weirder.
Yeah,
now,
I got it.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah. I got a news story for you real quick. Do you remember a year, not this year, but last year, a horse named Animal Kingdom who won the Kentucky Derby? And you actually really like Animal Kingdom because you're a Disney nerd, and that's why you liked that horse. And he actually won the Kentucky Derby in 2011. Well, he then fractured his leg. He broke, and it wasn't like a big, like, compound fracture. It was just a stress fracture, and it knocked him out. He was supposed to go to the Dubai World Cup this year, and it knocked him out, unable to go. You know, so many horses that ran this year have already been retired. Well, Animal Kingdom is coming back. He
really?
Is coming back. Yes, he healed. He has been training. And Animal Kingdom is now slated to run in the $2 million Breeders' Cup Mile. It's not like they're going to bring him back for a small race. They're going to just bring him back for the World Championship. Why not? So congratulations to Animal Kingdom and everybody associated with them. You know, they did such a great job bringing him back. And the owners of him, it's called Team Valor. His trainer's Grand Motion, and they're going to go for it. And I think it's awesome. You know, you love a good comeback story.
Isn't this the horse that I got in the fight with that author guy about?
Yes. Yes, it is.
I forget his name, but that was one of the very few times, you know, I don't normally get mad at guests. Remember? And you were like,
I was like,
oh, my God.
Stop talking, Glenn. Stop talking. You don't have people on and then rip them apart. No, that was the guy who we did like a pre-Kentucky Derby kind of, you know, where he went over the horses in the Derby and gave his picks, and Animal Kingdom was nowhere to be found. Well, then he goes after the Kentucky Derby. He comes back on. He's like, Animal Kingdom is the greatest horse ever. I knew he was going to win. I was there, and he's awesome, and he's training like a monster, and he's this, and he's this, and he's this. And you were like, what? No, you didn't. Alex,
I don't know why.
Alex,
I just had
something.
An instant reaction to that, which I normally don't do. But he's never come on since then. Did you notice that?
Yeah, that's because you wouldn't let Jennifer book him again.
Well, there's somebody, though, that we will never, ever get mad at, because there's no way you could ever get mad at this person. And that's Victoria. And she's going to be here doing the European Report in just a minute, right after this word from Back on Track Products. We'll be right back.
We're here with Bo from Back on Track, sponsoring today's show. And, Bo, we've discussed human products and we've talked about horse products, but you guys actually have things for dogs.
We do. We have dog blankets. We have dog beds. We actually have dog hock boots. We have dog leg wraps. And this is the same for horses and people. They help to reduce inflammation and get the dogs to feel better. We have everything from toy dogs up to large what do you call them? The big ones.
The
Great Danes.
Great Danes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Bernards, yeah.
Yeah.
So the dog bed, they would climb in the dog bed, and the whole thing is lined with this ceramic that increases blood flow?
Yes. And dogs actually, is hurting on one side, is actually laying down on that side.
Really?
Yeah. It's kind of fun to see. And you know, cats love something in the barn, and you lay on the increased blood and warmth, you know. So both dogs and cats love it. And we sell a lot in the agility business. Not so much over here, some we have done in Europe, but we have not really promoted ourselves so much here. But, you know, everybody, some of my horses have a dog, and we have two kinds. We have a regular dog, some dog blankets, some they can have outside, and then we have one mesh, some they can have indoors, some is a little bit lighter.
Okay, gotcha. So the hock boots for dogs, like these are for performance dogs, or like those of us who have older dogs?
Older dogs, you know, like it's not just performance. It's older dogs when they, you know, they start to be aches and pain. And
takes them a little while to get up.
Yeah, it really makes a difference. Without being a miracle, it really helps the dog, yes.
I can see it for a greyhound because when we take her to the dog park, she's a greyhound. So
yeah.
She runs her legs off, and then she's a little stiff the next day. So that would probably be good for that.
Absolutely. And we have greyhound blankets. We have Dachshund blankets.
I was going to ask you that because the greyhounds are shaped different.
Yeah.
They need a different size blanket.
We do have them. And, you know, greyhound, they always freeze.
Right.
I had no hair.
No,
I had the Italian greyhound.
Oh, did you?
She always shaked. So, yeah, she would have been a...
They're so cute, Italian greyhound.
Yeah, she wasn't a good dog.
Well, I would like to go and I'll have to go get one for our 15-year-old basset hound, but I'm not letting our puppy anywhere near it. He feels good enough. He's driving me crazy. Well, thanks, Bo. From Back on Track, check out backontrackproducts.com.
Thank you.
Well, that music can only mean one thing. We are heading over to jolly old England to talk to none other than Victoria Spicer. Good morning, Victoria.
Good morning.
I know, it's ridiculous. I don't know, Glenn just loves that theme song. And sorry.
It doesn't really suit. You should have bagpipes for me because I'm Scottish. So
I can do that. I got plenty of those.
I think you need to learn to play the bagpipes.
Oh, yeah. Actually, Glenn, I was going to say don't play the bagpipes on the air, but I think that maybe for your birthday I'll get you a set of bagpipes and you can practice in the home. Jennifer, how do you feel about that? She's not talking.
Yeah.
I'm sure you're excited. Well, Victoria, what is going on over on Horse and Country TV?
Well, this week, today actually, we have Horse of the Year show that's got underway in Birmingham. And so all the nicest horses in the world, all the best show horses and jumpers are over there for a week of competition. So we'll be there from tomorrow to catch up.
Now, the Horse of the Year show, you say the best horses in the world. What sport are they competing in? I mean, I'm just going to play dumb here.
It's mostly show jumping in the main arena. So it culminates in the Grand Prix, so the Horse of the Year competition, and we usually have lots of good riders there. I've got a couple of Olympic riders coming, so that'll be good. And then there's also showing, so like breed classes and hunter classes, and it ends in the Supreme Horse and Supreme Pony of the Year competition. So it's always
there's ponies too, indeed,
everything from tiny little ponies upwards. So yes, we're going to be interviewing them, and also keep looking out on the website because we're going to be catching up with lots of the showing competitors this year. So, definitely worth heading over to horseandcountry.tv/hoys, which is HOYS, to keep up with all the videos in action.
Now, one of my favorite things in the entire whole kind of jumper world is the Poussins class. Do they have one of those?
They do indeed. It's on Friday night, I think, and it's usually a good one. So last year we were watching it, and I remember Tina Fletcher fell off and banged her head. So I'm hoping a bit less dramatic this year.
Now, the Pony Club's also part of this, too, that they actually have a competition that goes on, right?
They do, the Prince Philip Cup, which basically every little girl and boy that rides ponies wants to one day compete in it. And it ends up being lots of Scottish teams. I think there's two Scottish teams that have qualified for it this year. I don't know why we're so good at Gymkhana games. But, they always have really great comedy races. And I don't think they're meant to be comedy. But last year they had four little riders in a giant sack hopping along. You just can't write this stuff.
So it's not just a hunter class after hunter class. It's more, it's like for the ponies, they do Gymkhana games, like what, barrel racing? Or I mean, what are some of the games they do?
There's dozens of Gymkhana games, and they choose different ones for each year. And so as simple as like the bending race when you weave up and down some poles, and they always have teams of four. And it's just amazing. And all these kids can like jump onto their ponies at a gallop. It's just incredible. And the one thing about Pony Club games is that the children seem to get taller and taller and the ponies don't get any bigger. So you end up with these like really tall, skinny children on these tiny little ponies. And
riding
they
little 11-hand ponies.
Exactly. And they can basically like reach down and grab stuff on the floor so they don't actually have to get off and on. So,
well, that's why they can jump on them at a gallop. I mean, they're taller than them, and they can outrun them. So, yeah, they're maybe galloping. The kid's, like, trotting along, up on the pony.
Indeed.
Fair.
I'll find the video, and I'll post it on our Facebook wall for you to see. It's very
awesome. There's one thing that you say in the article there on your website at horseandcountry.tv that they have is double harness scurry racing. Is that where they do driving with two harnesses on? I don't know what that means.
It's two ponies. It's always like small ponies, and they have them like doubled together. And it's a scurry cart. It's a very small, light, portable carriage, and they weave in and out of a course of cones, and they have tennis balls on the cones. So if they hit them, they get a time penalty, and they're so fast. These little ponies can spin round on a sixpence, and it's really fun. And you have the driver, and then you have somebody who's the groom who has to, like, hang off the edge of the cart to get it to turn. So it's pretty exciting. And so they have all these show jumping classes, and then they have displays and the other kind of competitions like the Gymkhana Games and the scurry driving in between time. And then the showing classes are held in a separate arena, but some of the finals are held in the main arena.
And so is there prize money? Is there good trade fair? Lots of shopping? Or is this a huge spectator event?
It is indeed. It's a huge show, and I think it sells out nearly every single performance. So it's utterly rammed with people, and there's so many shops. And the press office is at the opposite end of the arena to the showing arena. So this year, Jenny and I are going to be walking the entire length of all the shops about seven times a day. So we expect to be quite fit by the end.
Fit and broke.
Yes, indeed.
Fit and poor, yeah.
Yeah.
So what else do you guys have going on there at Horse and Country TV? Don't everybody go to horseandcountry.tv and just look up Horse of the Year. They've got I just found it, the fantastic picture of the Poussins, actually. And it looks like the horse is going to knock that one down. So you guys so what else is happening?
If you head to the blog section of our site, we've got a team of 12 riders who blog for us. But we've also been getting some guest posts. So if anybody fancies writing us a guest blog about anything that's either controversial or funny or that you just want to share with us, your own personal view, please do get in touch. And we've got a great blog here that was by Jenny Riddle, my co-worker and the presenter of Horse and Country TV. And she found this video of a little dog playing with a police horse in New York. It's so sweet. And this dog is determined to get the horse to play with him, and the horse just is totally unfazed. So we've had hundreds of hits on it already, so do go and check it out if you haven't seen it already.
Okay, I'm watching it right now, and we've got... Oh, man!
It's very
cute. And the horse actually looks kind of like he wants to play with the dog, too. So
indeed.
That's very, very cute. Oh, yeah, you have to go watch this. I mean, who loves horses and dogs more than us? So go check it out, Horse and Country TV. Did she video this herself?
She did, and she spotted it on YouTube. So I'm slightly worried that everybody has already seen it across the world, and we're the last ones to cotton on. But if you haven't seen it, it's definitely worth a watch.
Oh, my God. It's so cute. And it's what kind of dog is it? It's like a French bulldog or something?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Like a pug? It's quite like a pug. I got my dog breeds wrong this week. I referred to somebody's beagle as a basset hound, and they took me off the fence. I thought I was good at dogs, but no.
Did they take mortal offense because basset hounds are so much better than beagles?
That did seem to be what he was getting at. So, yes, all those owners of basset hounds that would like to argue the case, I think they do.
Oh, fantastic. So where have you been since last week? How was your weekend?
Good. I've been moving from one part of London to another because I'm in between houses. I'm trying to find my dream country cottage, so I'm not doing very well so far. It's a bit ridiculous because I don't work in an office. I'm basing where I want to live on where's the best livery yard to keep my horse at.
Oh, my gosh. I want to call my farm a livery yard. How cool is that? Welcome to Flyover Livery Yard. How is your horse doing? Are you competing? I know you guys were, I think, trying to get
some heading towards eventing.
Yes, well, we've had a tumultuous summer because he is a thoroughbred and he's got white feet to boot. So I have real problems with his feet, and he is the master at losing shoes. And so I've had a summer of him just not growing very much hoof and keep losing shoes, and then, you know, the hoof's getting more broken. And so he's not been getting fit enough to compete or going particularly well. So I decided to get a specialist farrier out, and he came and he put wraps on my horse's feet and then nailed the shoes to the wraps. And all of a sudden, he was just striding out perfectly. He was so going beautifully, and I was so excited, and I thought, God, I'm going to be off competing again in no time. And I took him for a ride, and he was brilliant. And I went for a wander around the field and came back, and he'd lost the shoe within a day of having that done. So he's now, he's had them replaced, and he still managed to lose three of the four wraps. And but he's had them all put on, and he's now staying in and just being ridden and not getting to go out in the field until his feet grow down. So the short version of that is, yes, he's very well, and hopefully he'll be able to compete very soon now that he's looking well and perfectly sound. But he just needs to grow his feet a bit more.
You know, it's the same problem all over the world, no matter what. You know, my farrier actually had to come out and patch my thoroughbred with his one white front foot. And if you've ever had this come out of your farrier's mouth, you know you're in trouble. She says, wow, it's starting to grow very well from the top. Unfortunately, Jamie, the bottom looks like potato chips. That's not a good sign at all.
I think thoroughbreds are definitely not the best horses for growth. I'd love somebody to prove me right. If anybody has a thoroughbred who has the best feet in the world, I'd love to hear from you just to reassure me that they can grow perfect feet, but mine just doesn't. And apparently, because we've had such a wet year, the constant getting wet and then drying out and getting wet has made them more brittle than they ought to be. So apparently this year in Britain, horses' feet in general are in worse condition than they usually are.
Now, you say thoroughbreds. I've yet to find the horse with perfect feet. So no. Good luck with that. Doesn't matter what breed they are. Nobody breeds for good hoofs. You know, that's the problem.
Definitely
well,
not.
Yeah, we want to wish you the best of luck. Have fun at the Horse of the Year show. And I know that there's an article on here on Horse and Country TV that's called Are Domesticated Horses Too Reliant on Us? And I've done a study with my horses, and I believe that 5 out of the 6 horses that are boarded at my house would die in less than 20 minutes if turned loose. Now, the only one that would survive would be the pony, because he's a pony. They live on air. But the rest of them, yeah, they'd be dead in like 20 minutes. I turn them out, and they just fall over, because I don't think I know of a horse that would survive without us. What about you?
I think you're totally right, and my horse certainly can't even be trusted to go out in the field without losing a shoe or cutting his leg or something. So, yes, I would worry about him.
Yeah, so you guys can check that out. Are Domesticated Horses Too Reliant on Us? You can put your vote in for absolutely. And all of that can be found on horseandcountry.tv. Victoria, it is always an absolute pleasure to have you on the show, and I hope you have fun at the Horse of the Year show.
Thank you very much, and I will speak to you next week with lots of reports from the show and hopefully lots of backstage gossip as well.
Yes, please.
All right, Victoria, next week, bagpipes. Bagpipes next week, Victoria.
No!
I'm looking forward to the rendition.
Okay, thank you.
I especially request O Flower of Scotland. If you don't know the song, you have to look it up and learn it. And I will be very, very impressed if you can play it on the bagpipes by next week.
All right, yeah, we'll find it. No problem.
You're not to download it, Glenn. She said you have to play it. Okay.
Indeed.
Yeah, well, I didn't say what I was going to play it on.
All right, Victoria, I'll talk
Bye,
to you next week.
Bye.
Good Lord, if you got some bagpipes, your wife would leave you in about 5 seconds.
No, but you know why? I don't think she would, because she's always wanted to see me in a kilt. So she has been bugging me for years about being in a kilt, haven't you, dear?
That's right.
I married you because you had nice legs.
Oh, my God.
It took me 22 years just to get you in a pair of shorts.
It's like finding out that mom and dad still do it. It's like, stop!
Well,
goodbye,
on that note, let's talk about mattresses and comfort and how comfortable you are. You know, I think you missed last week where we introduced a brand new sponsor to the Horse Radio Network here, and that's Stable Comfort by ProMat. You know, we all, Jennifer and I have this nice, we bought the foam mattress, the one that's all squishy that your body conforms around, and it makes for a good night's sleep. And, you know, we all worry about how much sleep we get and whether we're comfortable on our mattress. Well, we should be worrying about the same thing with our horses, and that's where Stable Comfort comes in. ProMat has designed this system for your barn, for your stalls in your barn, where you basically can put your horse on a mattress. And what they've done is, you know what happens in barns? You've worked in enough of them, Jamie, that, you know, and we've done it too. We're as guilty as anybody else. You buy a new barn, and you go in, and you get the stalls all cleaned out, or you have to build stalls in the barn or whatever. And then you go buy mats, and they're always, 4x6 mats, and you need about 3.5 or 4.5 of them to fit in the barn, and you sort of have to fold them up in the edges and everything. And then what happens in about a month, Jamie?
They slide.
And then what happens then is they stick up at the corners and bedding gets underneath them, right?
Oh, yeah. We move around.
And then you break your manure fork, not the flexing fork because that wouldn't break, but you break your average manure fork because they get stuck underneath the mats. It's a total pain in the neck. You have to get all icky, dragging them out and trying to level off the thing, and it's just a mess. Well, they've solved that problem because the Stable Comfort system is an all-in-one system, meaning that there's no gaps. And what they do is they actually put a cushion down underneath the top layer, and then the top layer is actually attached to the sides of the stalls, and it's all one piece. So there's not the gaps in between. So they have a perfectly comfortable, basically, mattress that the horses lay on. And what that provides is, one, is it provides a surface that really is more like the natural pasture outside with the grass and everything, so it's much more comfortable for the horse. And because it's a wall-to-wall waterproof flooring system, the only thing you really need bedding for is to soak up the manure and the urine. And because you're soaking it all up and taking it out every day and none of it's getting through to the ground or concrete or whatever underneath, it doesn't get the smell. So you don't have that horrible, you know, ammonia odor when you walk into some barns, you just want to pass out. That does not happen in barns that have the Stable Comfort system because it doesn't allow the urine to get down. And the other nice thing, and you're going to appreciate this, is you can just hose it out. When you want to clean out your barn, yes, you take your hose. You can even use a pressure washer. You take your hose or your pressure washer, you pressure wash it out when you want to do your spring cleaning, and you're done. And you can't do that with the regular mat system. So this is a really cool idea. It reduces the amount of shavings, and it takes half the time to clean your stalls. It's really, really good for all horses. You know, it doesn't matter whether your horse is old or young or competitive or not. This is a terrific system for all horses. So if you want to get the best comfort for your horses, check out the Stable Comfort system by ProMat by going to stablecomfort.com. That's stablecomfort.com. Didn't that sound cool?
That's awesome. That's awesome. I wish I could have them. Do they make them? No, probably not.
I don't think they make them for outdoor spaces like we have here in Florida. You have in Arizona.
No, not so much. But that sounds awesome. And someday when I build my dream barn, I will. I will get the Stable Comfort system. There you go. Perfect. All right, well, we've got a, of course, before you guys forget, go ahead and send in your really bad ads to Jennifer at Horse Radio Network. And I thought of that because we're going to play the song by Dan Roberts called Everybody's Hot to Settle.
Everybody's hot to saddle. Most hands have sold a favorite pair of spurs. It's part and parcel of a cowboy's life. It's just to test your nerve. You're too broke to pay attention when you're riding through a rough string of luck. But I still love my life. 'cause I got an old hat that fits me just fine. A pair of chinks that are worn out but custom made. I get to see the horses shed in early spring and go to a jackpot roping if I get paid. I've chased lions up on Big Bug Mountain and shot some horses down on the track. I've smelled hay that'll take your breath away and hitchhiked from here to who knows where and back. Why, I've even entered a couple of indoor rodeos, slept under a teepee made from a wagon fly. Me and an old bronc swam the Willamette River one time, and he was gentle when we come out the other side. I set chokers on a high lead logging crew way up on the Oregon coastal range. I even bought one brand spanking new pickup truck, then had to survive for days on ashtray change. Everybody's hocked the saddle. Most hands have sold a favorite pair of spurs. It's part and parcel of a cowboy's life, just to test your nerve. You're too broke to pay attention when you're riding through a rough string of luck. But I still love my life. Wouldn't trade it for $1 million. But there is one thing that really sticks in my craw. I sold my first and only bronc saddle like a fool. It went from priceless to a couple hundred dollars because I needed to buy me some horseshoeing tools. But you know, I just did what I had to do at the time. I sold something I had to buy something I was needing, and truth is, I was happy to have the money. It's whatever it took to keep my old pocketbook from bleeding. But $200, what was I thinking? That's less than commission. I'm here to tell you, whoever's got that saddle could name their price if that boy of mine could wear just a little basket stamp off that old association. Everybody's hocked the saddle. Most hands have sold a favorite pair of spurs. It's part and parcel of a cowboy's life, just to test your nerve. You're too broke to pay attention when you're riding through a rough string of luck. But I still love my life. Wouldn't trade it for $1 million. Oh, how I love my life. Wouldn't trade it for $1 million.
And that's Everybody's Hock the Saddle by Dan Roberts. You can find all of his music at oldbootsmusic.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning, brought to you today by Back on Track Products at backontrackproducts.com. I am Glenn the Geek here with Jamie Jennings, and Coach Jen is here producing. Our Horse Radio Network show highlight today is the Equestrian Legends show that came out this morning. It's Equestrian Legends episode 28 by Pessoa, and it was the polo legend Sunny Hale. I had a terrific time talking to Sunny. She is truly a pioneer in the world of women's polo. She basically was the first woman in U.S. history to win the U.S. Open Polo Championship. She's a 7-time winner of the Polo Excellence Awards, Woman Player of the Year. She's attained the highest rating ever given to a woman in the history of the sport, of 5 goals after winning the U.S. Open Polo Championship, and she has founded numerous organizations to enhance the sport of polo. She was a fun, very interesting woman. The youngest legend, Jamie, we've ever had. She's only in her mid-40s, and she is the pioneer for women playing polo in the world, really.
Wow, that's really cool. Well, they have to check that one out, and that's equestrianlegends.com, right?
Yep, correct.
Cool. Well, speaking of polo, it just jogged my memory of something that's coming up. And as a spectator / horse husband, Glenn, you've got to come on out to California to Galway Downs. Now, there's an international 3-day event taking place at Galway Downs, which I've been lucky enough to compete at in the lower levels, obviously. And I actually just sent in my entry for Galway Downs International 3-day event. It's November 1st through the 4th. And, of course, I'm just going training. I'm going training. Woohoo! But there's going to be like a one-star, a two-star, and a three-star there as well. And they have done so much work to prepare Galway for spectators this time, including, well, they have a racetrack there, which is the one that was the scene of the horses breaking out of the gates and my horse watching that and then almost bucking me off. Well, now they're going to add a little more challenge to it because there's 15 acres of polo fields in the infield of Galway Downs Racetrack. So not only will horses be breaking out of gates while I'm trying to calm my horse down for a dressage test, there may be a polo match going on. What the hell? Why not? Because they're really freaking them out. But they've also done some other stuff. They planted over 500 trees. They've made all these improvements. However, you got to check this out. On Cross Country Day, throughout the cross country course, now tell me this isn't going to freak a horse out. There's going to be four entertainment stations located throughout the cross country course. Most of them will be near the three water complexes. There's going to be an acoustic guitarist at each one of these entertainment stations.
What?
Located, again, by jumps. Okay, they're going to have acoustic guitarists at each one. There's going to be food vendors out on the cross-country course. There's going to be seating, music, food, all sorts of crazy stuff out on course. Can I just say that? On course. Now, after the cross country is over, you then move to the tent where they're going to have a full live band that's going on, and there's a huge trade fair. They're doing the Land Rover, the driving thing. It's going to be next to the cross country course.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not approving of all of this. I wouldn't have entered all of this exciting stuff out on course. Now, as a spectator, it's going to be awesome. I'm sure that my cross country will be later on in the day, so I'll be able to enjoy all of the activity going on with all the two-star and three-star. I mean, that's so much fun to watch. It's just so cool. So nothing like making your cross country course look tiny than walking out there and walking a, you know, three-star course. Oh, mine's nothing.
And you know,
that
is really cool. They're obviously trying to attract the spectators and get people in, and they know what'll get people in Southern California. That is really cool.
Drinks and music. And there's going to be in the tent in the party that night, beer tasting and wine tasting. So just get them drunk and they'll come.
Well, you know, Robert Kellerhaus is the one who puts that event on, and he has always had this dream to do that. So good for him. I'm glad he's finally getting it done. Isn't this the one you went to in the spring or whatever that had the snow? Which one did you go to that had the snow?
No, that was called 3-Day Ranch, and I won't do that one again. No, this is actually in Temecula, California. It's actually very close to Norco, and it's a really cool place, and Temecula is kind of a wine country in Southern California area, so it's a really fun place. I wish I could enjoy it instead of sit there nervous, like with a, you know, butterflies in my stomach the whole time and actually enjoy Temecula, but, you know, that's not what I'm there for. I'm there to be sick. Oh, and jump.
And nervous. Well, that's terrific. Really cool. And, you know, I want to give a shout-out here to Yudi on Facebook, who says, happy 101st episode. Well, thank you, Yudi.
501st.
Yeah, actually, yeah, you're right. 501st. Jeez, 101st. Yeah, thank you, Yudi. We appreciate that.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I don't think it even dawned on me earlier that we were at 501.
How many Facebook friends do you have on that horse husband page of yours?
Not enough. We need to get more on
that. Because everybody else loves being a horse husband. You're just the sassy one.
Hey, you know how we always highlight stars that we find out that have horses or stars' families? Well, apparently, NASCAR legend Dale Earnhardt's daughter is a barrel racer. I didn't realize that. When she was growing up on the farm, on Dale Earnhardt's big, you know, beautiful farm there in North Carolina, they had horses. So she was horses the time she was young. She actually married a cowboy as well. And her husband, Brandon, participates in rodeos. He's a calf roper. And she's a barrel racer, so she likes to go fast, but she doesn't do it in the mechanical beast. She does it on a horse instead. But that's
now,
Dale
is this
Earnhardt's daughter.
Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s sister, then?
You know, I was trying to figure that out, and I didn't get a good. I don't know exactly. And let me see here. I don't know. It doesn't.
I mean,
really
it must
say,
be because Dale Earnhardt is the son.
Yeah, it says the youngest daughter of the late stock car racer Dale Earnhardt. So it must be. Yeah, must
yeah.
be his sister.
And so we're such NASCAR fans, aren't we?
Yeah.
But I would like to point out that if Dale Earnhardt's daughter was a hunter jumper, it would just never settle in the family. She'd have to be a barrel racer, without a doubt.
Yes, definitely. or a jockey, one or the other.
Yeah, one of those. That family has a need for speed. But that's really
yeah.
cool.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. So there's another celebrity we found out about.
All right. Well, hey, I've got a really cool story for you, actually, Glenn. And, you know, we love the Mustangs and the Mustang Monument that's taken place in Nevada. Well, we've talked to several people that are kind of associated with the Wild Horse Preservation. And this is so cool. A lady named Ellie Price, who owns a vineyard in California. She's a wildlife advocate and owner of the famous Durrell Vineyard.
She's going to get the Mustangs drunk?
I guess. No, she actually rescued from a livestock auction in Fallon, Nevada. Now, I don't even understand how they get there. 115 Mustangs that were rounded up and were going to be auctioned off at a livestock auction, which, as you know, happy things usually don't happen to horses. So I don't know how these Mustangs got to the livestock auction. I'm sure it's an incredibly sad story. Well, she has a 2,000-acre, well, now has a 2,000-acre wildlife refuge just outside of Willows in California, and she just released these 115 Mustangs into the wild in her 2,000-acre refuge just so she can keep them wild. Now, there are mares, there are geldings, there are stallions, or mares and stallions, I guess. I don't know if they gelded any of them. But they're actually using the birth control with the vaccines. And so
they're using
all of these things so the horses won't reproduce. They're just keeping them out there, and they get to run free. And I just love that story. I would love to get Ellie Price actually on the show. Jennifer, if you can make note of that, because that'd be so really so cool to talk to somebody who's doing something about it, you know, and who has the means to do something about it.
Terrific. Well, let's give this to Ellie Price. And Jamie, it is now time. It's Wednesday, so it is time for...
It's time for the weekly health report from thehorse.com. Fantastic information and their attempt to ruin Glenn's lunch every week.
Okay, it may be the time to ruin Glenn's lunch, blah, 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 but it is the time every week where we make Jamie paranoid. And just things that you go out there and you're like, oh, I hope my horse doesn't have an abscess. Oh, I hope my horse didn't do a tendon. Oh, I hope my horse doesn't have bone fragility syndrome. What?
Yeah, you and me. This one isn't one that's going to make Glenn lose his lunch, but it makes my toes curl a little bit. We're talking about bone fragility syndrome today.
Okay, Michelle, let me stop you real quick. I got to take my Prozac. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, we're good.
Deep breathing, Jamie. we have Dr. Mandy Ahrens with us. She is from UC Davis. Hi, Mandy.
Good morning.
Hi.
Good morning.
Hello.
So Dr. Ahrens is a DVM. She also has a Master's of Preventative Veterinary Medicine. Did I get that right?
Yes, you did.
And a PhD. You don't see that MPVM very often. What does that mean?
It's comparable to a master's in veterinary public health. So it's looking at populations instead of at the individual animal, but it's basically like a master's in public health.
Okay. And so you did your PhD work, I believe, on this bone fragility syndrome. Do I have that right?
That is correct, yes.
Okay. So how did you get started working with this? Because this is a not very common, kind of mysterious
Yes, you were right. And it was basically just sort of a the right time at the right place. I had just started my PhD work in the Veterinary Orthopedic Research Lab at UC Davis. And at about the same time, a veterinarian from Monterey, California, which is one of the sort of hot spots for this disease, sort of came knocking on the proverbial door saying, we have a problem down in this area, and there are these horses. They're developing these really bowed shoulders, and we're having just too many broken bones, and unusual bones were breaking, like the pelvis and the back and the ribs. So she came to Davis looking for help to try to figure out what was going on, and I was looking for a research project. So it just sort of, we came together and tried to figure out what was going on with the disease.
Okay. And so you've mentioned the bowed shoulders and the breaking of the pelvises. What other kind of clinical signs do we see in horses that have bone fragility syndrome?
Well, one of the things that we know about this disease now is that it's progressive, and so it worsens over time. So in the early stages, what can be frustrating is that the clinical signs are really vague. So a horse might just have some intermittent lameness, or they might have some body stiffness, just sort of not doing quite right, refusing jumps, not wanting to do lateral movements or something like that. As the disease progresses, the lameness can become worse and more persistent. And then at the end stage of the disease, they take on this very characteristic sort of body shape where their shoulders become really bowed to the side, as well as they shift forward, so it looks kind of like they're hunching their shoulders towards their head. They develop a really bad sway back. It's not related to age. We sort of associate sway back with old horses. Mm-hmm. But horses with this disease can have a really bad sway back at like 12, 14 years old. And then they will then start developing sort of spontaneous fractures, which, unfortunately, is really the end stage of the disease.
Okay, yeah, and I'm looking at a picture that we have in our current issue of the horse, of the sway back, and it does just look like a little old horse, but I can see that bowed shoulder. It's really interesting if anyone gets a chance to take a look at that in the magazine. But so what's causing this?
Well, we don't know for sure. What we do know is that where the bone disease shows up is it first showed up, as I said, in Monterey, which is an area that is known for a lung disease called pulmonary silicosis, which is a chronic lung disease that horses get from inhaling or breathing in toxic silica dioxide particles. So these are certain crystals that are in the soil, and they're everywhere, but they're toxic ones that are located in certain geographic regions. And when they inhale these crystals, they go into the lungs and create a chronic inflammatory state, so just chronic inflammation that is not curable and the horse can't get over. And about 90% of the horses with bone fragility also have this lung disease, silicosis. So there's some sort of an association. Yeah.
Where is this again?
In beautiful Monterey, California.
In beautiful
Seriously?
Monterey, California.
Death crystals in Monterey, California.
But they're also, yes, and it's also shown up, that's where it started, where we first became aware of the disease. But since then, we have horses that have been diagnosed throughout California. Usually, they seem to sort of follow in clusters down the coastal range. But we've had horses as far north as Redding, which is up by the Northern California border, and down to San Diego. Mostly, again, along the coastal range, but also some in the Sierra Mountains.
Does this have anything to do with the hippie movement in the 60s and what might be left in the dirt or not? Just asking.
I doubt it. These crystals date back to the Miocene era, so they've been there a long, long time.
Okay.
Yeah, so these are naturally occurring silica particles, right?
Exactly. They're naturally occurring silica particles.
Okay.
Nice. So do we see it outside of California? Are there other regions in the country?
We have seen horses diagnosed with the disease in other states, but so far all of them have had a history of living within California. So if the premise that it's based on these crystals is correct, it should pop up elsewhere because these crystals are found worldwide and not just in California. However, to date, the only horses that have had the disease diagnosed have all had a history of living at some point in California.
So do they have, is it related to age at all? Like, do we see it in the youngsters, or is it as they get a little bit older? You said like a 12-year-old can have the severe swayed back.
Yeah, so it's we don't think that there's any age or breed or, you know, mares, geldings, stallions have all been diagnosed with it. The youngest horse we diagnosed was 4, and then we've diagnosed horses up until their 20s and 30s. What happens, though, is at 4, they might not look like that picture that's in the horse, so they won't have the sway back per se. But we have seen some horses as young as 4 and 6 with the really sort of characteristic shoulders. So that can happen early on depending on how severe the disease is.
And in these hotbed areas, like in Monterey, how prevalent is the disease? Do you see it? Is it a high percentage? Or
what we think, it's been hard to get an exact number because in this early stage, it's hard to diagnose them sometimes. But veterinarians in these hotbed areas sort of estimate that about 25% of their clinical practice or the population in the area might have the disease.
Wow.
So in certain areas, it could be, you know, quite present, whereas in other areas, it's not present at all.
So
I have a question.
Yes,
Hold on. Let's talk numbers here, because there's obviously, I'm never moving to Monterey, California. Obviously, I could never
even
afford
though it's beautiful.
To move to
I
know.
Visit.
Screw it. No, because I might inhale some silicone into my lungs and get past some disease to my horse. I don't know. So, question, how many horses overall total, and I'm sure you know, have been diagnosed with this disease?
Well, again, it seems like we should know that number. And at Davis, I think we're about, I want to say maybe 150, just since I started researching, I guess since the early 2000s. But the caveat there is that we've just recently recognized this as a disease. So we're just now kind of within the past, I'd say, 5 years starting to diagnose horses. And because it's only really easy to diagnose once they develop these bowed shoulders and sway back, I think a lot of horses might go misdiagnosed or undiagnosed.
Right.
They might get, say, euthanized because of pain before they develop the really bad signs, and so they don't get diagnosed with this disease.
What's the most common misdiagnosis? What was the one that they were thinking it was?
Well, sometimes it can just be a just a persistent lameness that they can't find a cure for. And what's hard is that the lameness is often, or the source of the lameness, the pain is up high, up in the shoulder or the shoulder blade. So it doesn't block out with your nerve blocks, and so it becomes an unknown lameness that they might detect a fracture for unknown reasons. If you did, say, an ultrasound, you might see the fracture, or bone scan is the best way to diagnose this disease, and so you see some changes. So if you saw that standing alone, you might think, okay, this horse just has a bad fracture and it's not going to get better, and it might be euthanized because of that without having a diagnosis of the disease.
So but 5 years, 150 cases, I mean, that's starting to add up.
Well, the 150 cases is since, I think, 2003, maybe, or the late 1990s. So that's over probably 10, 15 years. Then the other issue with Davis is that Davis itself is not in a hot spot. So we only get the cases here that veterinarians have referred to us.
Right.
So if we could somehow, you know, survey veterinarians out in the field, out in their practices, I think the number would be much, much higher.
Oh, great.
So did you guys come up, your research team come up with any recommendations for prevention?
The only thing that we have so far is that if it is associated with silicosis, which it is that dust control and trying to prevent the exposure to those crystals. So this could be feeding not on the ground, not in the dirt, feeding in a barn, feeding elevated. Some people have tried mulching the paddocks so that the dust is less. The hard part, again, is that since we don't know for sure that it is caused by the crystals, this may not completely solve the problem. But it does seem to, on the farms that have done like mulching, it does seem to reduce the number of horses that get diagnosed there.
Just move. Sounds easy.
Oh. Yeah. It's beautiful there. Have I said
that? It is pretty. And you know, I don't want to just totally dissuade you from moving to Monterey, because there are some areas in Monterey that are completely fine. It's not the whole county.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Dr. Ahrens, for joining us. This one's fascinating.
Yeah. It's really interesting because, I mean, I just could never have heard of something like this. And for you, congratulations on getting all this research done. And I know it's going to be kind of a lifelong passion of yours to kind of learn more about it. And, you know, I'm just glad there's smarter people than me out there like you doing this kind of work.
Oh, well, thank you. And yeah, we hope to continue doing more research at Davis and figure more things out about this strange disease.
Yeah.
Well, thank you
very much.
Yeah, and I don't think that I was considering moving to Monterey because I think the cost of living is a little high, but now I'm definitely I'll just move outside of Monterey, okay? So that's what I'll do.
Hey, that sounds good.
Yeah. So thank you guys very much. Michelle, where can they find more information about this?
Yeah, in the current issue of The Horse, Dr. Ahrens did a short article in there, and that's where there's a photo. It's a very distinctive-looking disease. If you can get a hold of an issue and look at that photo, you can subscribe online at thehorse.com.
All right, that's thehorse.com. And again, you can. What is UC Davis's website?
UCDavis.edu. And if you go there and go to the Veterinary Orthopedic Research Lab, then they'll have more information on the disease and the research.
Fantastic. Well, thank you, Dr. Rinas and Michelle. Of course, thank you for joining us every week. And we will talk to you again next week. And good luck.
All right. Bye.
Thank you very much.
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys. Now, where exactly was that show you were going to? What part of California was that in?
I don't care. I'm scratching. Screw it.
Oh, geez. Yeah. We have to worry about killer particles in the ground now.
And it's not like it's a new thing. They've been there for millions of years. Maybe this is what caused the dinosaurs to, be extinct. I'm pretty sure.
It's it. It wasn't the big. It wasn't the big. Asteroid. It was the killer particles in Monterey, California, that caused it.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it was. Now we know. All the dinosaurs had sway backs. Oh God.
Oh jeez. You know, we shouldn't laugh about this kind of stuff. But what else are we gonna do? Every week, you know, we hear about the new thing that's gonna get our horses. So.
Oh, you have to laugh. I mean, if we have a listener with a horse with it, we're in trouble, but...
Like, the horses don't spend enough time trying to hurt themselves. The ground is trying to hurt them now.
Yeah, yeah. And when she said Monterey, I was like, hold up. No. Can't mean Monterey, California. she did. Yeah, Monterey, California.
Well, that's it for this week. Let's call it a day. We'll be back again on Friday with another show, Really Bad Ads, on Friday. So get your Really Bad Ads into Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. We have a terrific prize for you this week. I think Aubrey won her fork on a Really Bad Ads day, and that's the Equity Flexin fork. You can find it at equitymfg.com. It's one of the best manure forks out there. We talk about it all the time because we all use it, and we absolutely love it. So get your ads in. You have until Thursday evening to do that. Get it, Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com, and she asks that you put Really Bad Ads in the subject line. And,
why? Like, she wouldn't know it's a really bad ad when an email comes in. It's like, hey, y'all got a horse for sale?
It sends them to a box. It sends them to a certain mailbox for her.
Okay.
And, you know, we're having a fun day tomorrow. We're going down. We're actually taking the day off, trying to get all our work done today, which is going to be a bit of an issue. But we have friends, old friends from Massachusetts coming in with their family, and we're going to meet them at Disney World tomorrow. So,
excuse me. Do you go to Disney World every week?
Pretty
Seriously?
Much. And then it's a nice place because everybody comes to Disney World to visit, and we get to visit our friends there. And then in 2 weeks, we're going for the Food and Wine Festival at Epcot because we have friends coming in. We're going to meet them there.
Okay, Epcot is the coolest place to go. I'm sorry, and I'll tell you why. You know, most people like the rides at Disney, go see the little animals walking around, whatever. You got to go to Epcot because, as you know, Epcot is full of different countries. How many different countries are there, by the way? Do you know?
Nine,
12. You know, I lose count because what we do at Epcot, and you will see people doing it because it has now become it's a little bit of an underground thing to do at Epcot, and I don't think you would ever in your entire life finish it, you or Jennifer, and that is drink your way around the world. And what that means is you have to go to each country. Like, there's Japan, and you have to drink an entire thing of sake. And then you go to Mexico, and you have to drink a margarita. And then you go to where every single country, you have to drink the actual country drink, and they sell them there. And if you finish, you're either going to puke on your way to the car, or you'll puke when you get home, or you'll puke the next morning, because three of us all puked at three different times.
Well, you would love the Food and Wine Festival because what they do, it happens in October every year, and what they do is they actually set up food and special alcohol booths outside of every one of those countries. There's 26 booths set up, and you can buy appetizer portions of what they sell in the restaurants, and then they serve the wine. You can taste different wines that they serve, so you can actually – you don't even have to go into the places. You can drink your way around the little booths that they set up all over the circle. So that's what we're going to do in 2 weeks.
That is definitely a drink and puke thing, to not only drink that many different beverages, but then to eat that many different types of foods. Oh, my God. You're toast. Toast. Good luck.
I'll let
that.
You know.
Have fun.
That's in a couple of weeks. We'll let you know how that is. But we'll see everybody back here Friday morning.
I'm not 22 anymore. I don't think I can drink my way around the world. But, yeah, you guys have a great day. Remember, spay, neuter, and geld. Please.
And vaccinate.
Lord,
and vaccinate.
And don't go to Monterey with your horse. Ride around
Apparently.
It. Awful.
Stay away from California. Watch the debate tonight, everybody, and give us a report tomorrow. Yeah, right.
Yeah, right.